Thank you. So in news that will surprise exactly no one, in October of 2014, states were advised by CDC that travelers from Liberia, Sierra Leone, Guinea, and later Mali should be screened for Ebola risk. Pennsylvania implemented 21-day monitoring using CDC guidelines. From October of 2014 through May of 2015, Pennsylvania monitored 1,598 travelers. 1,579 of those were low risk, which required active monitoring, which was one phone call per day. 19 were some risk, which required direct active monitoring, which was at least one visualization a day, which was accomplished via Skype, FaceTime, or in-person visit. We had relatively few in Pennsylvania compared to some jurisdictions with many healthcare worker travelers. 380, 24%, transferred to or from another jurisdiction during their monitoring period, and 39 were actually transferred more than once. Most of ours went to the southeastern or Philadelphia region of our state, and most travelers were contacted 1 to 2 days after their arrival. The care phones did improve our ability to contact. Pre-care phones, it was about 2.5 days to contact, and post-care phones, it was about 1.6 days. For 14 travelers, we were unable to make any successful contact whatsoever. Pre-care phones, that was 9, and post-care phones, that was 5 persons. The travelers arrived from the following West African countries. Primarily 70% came from Liberia, and then Sierra Leone, Guinea, Mali, and some came from multiple countries, and in a few instances, the country was unknown. The passport country is shown here, and you can see that most of ours held passports from Liberia, and 72% of our travelers held passports of Ebola-affected countries, so we were getting a lot of persons who were just traveling here to visit family or friends in Pennsylvania. This is the timeline of arriving travelers, so you can see that the demand on public health was pretty steady throughout. We actually averaged about 7 new passengers a day. We tested 4 persons for Ebola from October through May. The first was actually a child who presented with fever and brief watery diarrhea. The child was being actively monitored, but the parents never did disclose the fever, and they took the child directly to the hospital without contacting the health department first. The final diagnosis was malaria, and we did learn some unique lessons with this one, that there were some unique management problems with pediatric cases, such as where the parents would reside during the child's hospital stay, and also PPE for parents, and some psychological issues with the child. The second was an adult who presented with fever and severe abdominal pain. She did contact the health department first, and so the transport to the hospital went quite smoothly for her. She was diagnosed with infarcted uterine fibroids, and we did learn some lessons learned there. We suspected there were some fictitious CBC results, maybe due to diluted by IV fluid. Some of the healthcare workers were afraid to draw her blood, and there was also a delayed diagnosis because the hospital was afraid of contaminating equipment. The third was an adult who presented with fever, headache, and no additional symptoms. The monitoring was sporadic, and the traveler was difficult to contact and spoke very little English. Ultimately, she was diagnosed with unexplained low-grade fevers and headache, and malaria was negative. The lessons learned here was that EMS was contacted for transfer to the hospital without contacting the health department first, so it was a bit of a circus. Transporting her to the hospital included a fire truck and media coverage. The fourth was an adult who presented with fever, abdominal pain, vomiting, vaginal bleeding. She had a history of stillbirth 5 weeks prior in West Africa. The diagnosis was malaria with gynecologic complications. And the lesson learned here that although she did test positive for malaria, that didn't completely set the health care workers at ease. And so they asked that she be tested for Ebola just to reassure them, the facility and the health care workers. We also had a number of unusual circumstances during our monitoring of travelers. 13 travelers were hospitalized during monitoring. We had 2 births, 1 vaginal and 1 cesarean, both resulted in healthy babies. A well-pregnant traveler in a household with positive influenza was prescribed oseltamivir prophylactically so that she would not develop a fever and have to present to the hospital. We had 1 death and a young traveler who died during monitoring on day 5 from a previously diagnosed liver cancer, but this had not been disclosed to us and, in fact, never reported any symptoms to us whatsoever. We had to manage some incoming travelers who were to be put in federal custody upon their arrival for white-collar crime. Prison was deferred until the end of the monitoring period for they were fearful of Ebola in the prisons. And the travelers were completely compliant during the monitoring period. Yes. And we had a was visiting family in Pennsylvania, and his family refused to pick him up and host him, and so Pennsylvania provided housing, transportation, and meals for him for 21 days. And that's it.